This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, to withstand all that they did, then just Soto without another starter in that rotation.
I mean, it's if you get the kind of year from Bellinger that you hope you get, yeah. The answer is yeah. If he goes through, I mean,
dude, imagine their rotation right now without. Right now, it's yeah, without with Fried.
I know. Ooh, I know. Without Fried? God Almighty, it would be absolutely putrid. It would be really bad.
Now, maybe they would have signed a less than arm to lengthen it out.
Maybe make a trade at that point. Whatever, maybe they just would have hit the emergency market and tapped in and tried to get Dylan Cease. No, there are some. Yanks got some issues here. It's going to be every night's going to be a battle, and I think listen, nobody's preordained to just show up and win divisional titles. I mean, it's not easy to be good every year, and this is probably going to be the biggest challenge they've had in a long time.
BT and Sal on the Fan, we come back. Seth freaking Rollins in studio. We'll talk some NFL with Seth and his cage match tonight at the world's most famous arena.
Burn it down!
BT and Sal back on the Fan live here on this Monday morning, joined in studio by Seth freaking Rollins, who's got a cage match tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, Monday Night Raw against that jerk, CM Punk. Seth, welcome aboard. How are you?
That sounds pretty good, man. Cage match at the world's most famous arena. It didn't get bigger than that, does it?
You tell me.
I mean, that's pretty special. I mean, we got WrestleMania right around the corner in Vegas in April, but this is right up there with it. This is the first Raw of the Netflix era in the Garden,
yeah.
Which is going to be a big one. I know. The Garden is the Garden, as they say in our business, so I'm very excited for this one.
It's the best. You like jumping in a cage, or where does that rank on the different type of matches you can have? You like it?
I mean, it's constricting, right? Because that's the name of the game. They put two bodies in a cage. You're not supposed to get out of there. You want to fight to the death. So there's that. But I like the challenge. I think it's a lot of fun and the spectacle of it. I mean, you can't beat.
Well, I mean, the world's most famous arena, of course, Seth. Hulk Hogan beating the Iron Sheik, 1984. I know you're a huge fan of Hulk, right? You remember that moment?
I was a Hogan fan growing up, yes.
I was being facetious.
No. Growing up, I was a Hogan fan, and I've said a million times the dude has been nothing but kind to me in my life and our interactions. Doesn't make him a good person. Obviously, he's run into some issues as of late, and we'll see if he clears those up. That's his business, though.
Were you surprised? I mean, I wasn't even going to bring up Hulk. The way he was booed, that was out in L.A., right?
No, I don't remember. Okay.
No, I was not surprised.
Like, that vociferously, like, there was no cheers.
No, none. I mean, look, he hasn't done a lot to, like, kind of harbor goodwill in his name over the past few years. And so I just think with everything that's going on with him, he came out. I saw it coming. I don't know if anybody else did, but I did, yes.
How about CM Punk? Like, is it easier for you? Now, I don't know what you think of him. I've just heard some stuff like, maybe he's not the nicest guy. And you're in a feud with him currently. Is it easier for you to be in a feud with a guy who maybe is perceived to not be, he's a little bit of a jerk, right?
I mean, we're in the conflict industry, right? And I have a conflict with him. I don't like him. I haven't liked him for a long time. We have a lot of history. So it is much easier to talk badly about someone that you honestly don't like. Yes, that is accurate.
And then, but then what about getting in the ring with him and having to work together?
That's trickier, you know? That's trickier. That's part of the game, though. You know, you get in there, but it's a great opportunity. It's almost like there's a little bit of therapy that goes along with that, you know? Because you get to get that violence out. You get to get that anger, that frustration out, you know, with not so much of a filter, you know? You're out there. It's just you and him. If the fists fly, they fly.
Oh, okay. All right, pulling those shots here.
Just saying, man.
Yeah, understood. There's no doubt. So Seth is with us here in studio. BT and Sal on the Fan tonight. Raw, it's on Netflix, The Cage. Give us a little bit of the rest of the card. We'll bounce around back to you, but what else do we have coming up on the card tonight?
We are just in full WrestleMania season right now. All things are crazy. Obviously, what's on everybody's tongue is John Cena.
Yeah.
Big night at Elimination Chamber. He's going to go on. Cody Rhodes is in the house tonight, from my understanding. Don't know what he's going to talk about, but I'm sure he's got something to say. Io Sky, new Raw Women's Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, I guess, for the ladies. Last week, beat Rhea Ripley in a shocker. She's in the house. Bianca Belair, her WrestleMania opponent, in the house. Jey Uso, the Yeet Man, in the house. So, I mean, we got a stacked card, and everything's kind of cruising towards Mania here in a few weeks.
So you mentioned the Elimination Chamber thing and Cena turning heel, but you also mentioned letting the fist fly. Dude, what would happen if Travis Scott did what he did to Cody Rhodes to you? Well, he's got the black eye, I guess it was supposed to be.
That was ridiculous.
You take him out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have mercy on Travis Scott. That is not a man that needs to be in a wrestling ring with these giant humans. No offense to him, but I mean, he's just... He's a cruiserweight brother, you know what I mean? He can wrestle Rey Mysterio maybe, but like he doesn't know what he's doing in there. He just whacked him in the side of the head, gave him a big old bruise, so like busted him open. Just awful. But like if Cody gets his hands on him, I mean it's done and dusted.
And
Cody's not like Braun Strowman. He's not Andre the Giant. Like he's not a massive guy, but he dwarfs Travis Scott. So I mean if he can get through like Travis's team of people, it's game over for him.
You think he actually wants to? I know he doesn't. Go ahead.
Cody's a very nice guy. I won't speak on his behalf, but he's got an undercurrent of frustration in there, especially when he gets taken advantage of in a situation like that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very interesting there. So how do you prepare back to you tonight? You know, it's funny, and try to relate this to the other sports. Like, you know, you've seen a certain pitcher who throws a certain pitch. You do one thing. You're playing a certain team in basketball that plays a certain style. You prepare. How do you prepare for a cage match? Is it different than just stepping into a normal ring without the restraints around you?
Well, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. So, first of all, we mentioned it. We're in the Garden. All right? So, there's like an added pressure. We're on the road to WrestleMania. You're in the main event on Netflix live. Millions of people watching around the world. And you've got the task of a cage. So, you know mentally what you're in store for. So, the pressure is like kind of through the roof. And from a physicality standpoint, you just have to kind of steel yourself, no pun intended, steel cage, but you have to get ready. You just know it's going to be painful. You're getting thrown into that thing. You're going to get nicks and cuts all over your place. You're going to be super bruised for probably a few days. I mean, the flight home tomorrow for me is not going to be comfortable, you know, but you still got to try to get through it, get to WrestleMania. It's really a mental game more than a physical game.
Real quick, Seth, do you get nervous before a night like tonight?
Tonight, yes. I think there are very few. I've been doing this for a long, long time. Thousands of matches under my belt. Very few situations do I get nervous for. This would be one of them.
And why, though, more specifically?
Oh, I love the pressure, man. You know, I think people, you know, the stress, the added pressure of performing at a high level. Like, I mean, at where I'm at, that's what I live for. Yeah. That's what I want. Like, I want the ball when there's 5 seconds to go in game seven. I want to be at the plate with the bases loaded, down three in the bottom of the ninth. Like, that's what I want. I'm living for that, man. And this is that moment tonight.
BT and Sal in studio with Seth freaking Rollins. I think it's a great question, BT, because even hearing you talk about it, Seth, I'm getting anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, millions of people watching at the Garden. Like, good God, what if I screw up? And then you said you're flying back home afterward. You fly private? What are we looking at these days?
Nah, man. I'll be flying a commercial plane back to L.A. at 6 a.m. Yes, sir.
And then what?
Dude, private flights are expensive. I don't care how, unless you're Elon Musk. Like, that's expensive.
That's a company pays for that. It. Come on.
You're pissing out billions.
Yeah.
You got the Able Triple H? No? Yeah. I mean, come on. time.
And maybe one of these days, man. Maybe one of these days. My wife also doesn't like to fly private, so she freaks her out. Like she gets claustrophobic. You know, planes are a little bit smaller.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and it's just she can feel everything. So she
really.
So I just avoid it.
Let her take.
Take the kid on a commercial solo. You got kids. You got a wife.
Yeah,
imagine how that's gonna go over.
So since you brought
a cage match,
of course, Seth married to wrestler Becky Lynch. Now is she active? Where are we at with Becky? When does she plan on coming back? I know you guys just have your first kid, or you had two now?
No, only one.
Okay, yeah, only one. How old?
She's four.
Okay, four years old.
I mean,
okay.
Becky's been back since the birth. I mean, she's won the title. You know, she's been doing great. She was awesome. She took a few months off. She did some television and film projects. And so she's gearing up to get ready to come back. Don't know when that's going to happen just yet, but I mean, she is active. Yes, that I will say. She is not retired. She's not mentioned anything about retirement. There are future plans for her in professional wrestling.
You know, I'm thinking about, like, it could be cool. Like, you get to travel with your wife and family and work together. And then it's like, also, you get to travel with your wife and work together.
I love it. My wife's my best friend. That might be cheesy as hell, but we get along so well. And we traveling together and working together has never been an issue. Like it's so easy, and it makes life fun, I think.
How do you like being a dad?
Best.
It's the best, right?
The best.
They're not like it, dude.
I'm a girl dad.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it. When I was growing up, I never thought I wanted to be a parent. It was just kind of like real, you know, into my own stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, maybe one day. But as I got older, I kind of thought, not going to happen. Then you meet the right person, and time comes, and I mean, it's the best thing I've ever done.
Well, Seth, think about this. The old, and I love, you know, whether it's articles or documentaries or shoots, whatever, the old days, you know, guys in a car for 9 hours from to one town, to one territory. Being a dad back then as a wrestler compared to being a dad right now, it's night and day. It's totally, you can actually be a dad now.
Yeah, you can. I mean, the business has changed so much. It's evolved so much, and it's so much more, you know, user-friendly, I suppose, for us as performers. I mean, the schedule is way pared down. Even from when I started back in 2012, I went from wrestling 200-plus matches a year to now, you know, maybe doing like 50 at most. And so,
the same money? More.
The money's a little better.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Money's a little better. The business is in a much healthier place than it was, you know, 12 years ago. So it's fantastic. And yeah, you're right, dude. Those guys, I mean, it wrecked families. The business wrecked families. Because what are you going to do? You're on the road for a month at a time.
Like, you get a drink, you get a party, yeah, you get drugs, you get to do what you shouldn't
do. There's no oversight. Yeah, there's no help to get you healthy. You're just constantly running, and it wears you down.
Did you do Disney yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done Disney many, many times. Yeah, Orlando and Los Angeles.
I'm talking about with the fam. Daughter. Okay,
with the fam.
4 years old, that nice window.
Yeah, oh, man.
Okay.
We're in that sweet window right now where everything's still magic, man.
Chris,
there's Santa Claus still real.
Moana.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, Seth.
It's the best, dude. She loves it. She just hit her big Bluey phase, so we're a Bluey household now, which,
You know, there's a Bluey Live. I'm actually going to that show.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Saturday. Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
A Bluey. Not Bluey Live Show. What the hell is it called? It's a Bluey Experience. They have one in Fifth Avenue. They have them all over the place.
I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, you go in for an hour. I think at the end you get to take pictures.
We did one with Trolls. We did one with Trolls in New York not long ago. Yep, amazing.
All right, so on that, whether it's at the airport, whether it's at Disney, you and your wife both superstar famous.
Sure.
How does that get, like, when you're getting, you know, can we take a picture? Can you sign this?
You know what? I don't mind at all. Look, if you run into me and I'm out and about and you see me and ask for a picture, I love it, man. I mean, I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to be that for somebody. Now, if you're going to stalk me down at an airport and get my flight information and then show up in a place you shouldn't be, that's a little weird. You know, I'll push back on that. I don't like that. That's a little invasion of privacy. But, man, if we just run into each other, say what's up.
That's
for a picture. I'm always down for that.
That's phenomenal. So Seth Rollins is in studio. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. The cage match tonight, CM Punk. You're going to knock him around. I just have a good feeling about that. I love the old, like, I was raised on wrestling. My grandma used to go to the garden. This is a true story, Seth. She actually filled up a water gun, right? Little 4'4" to God bless her. And her twin sister, they were probably, well, they lived into their 90s, but she's probably 70-something at this point. One of the Moondogs, this is the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Comes flying out of the ring. She shoots vinegar right in his eye.
Oh, no.
Oh, she was an absolute.
What a menace.
Everything was a curse. She was unbelievable. So I love the old school stuff. And the new stuff, but I love the old school stuff. If you could wrestle one name from the past, who would it be and why would you want to wrestle that person?
My favorite wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels. He's the head of NXT, our developmental system right now. Shawn is, you know, one of the reasons I became a professional wrestler. Now I've gotten the opportunity to wrestle a lot of my idols or be in the ring with them over the years. Shawn's one. I've done some promos with him. I would have loved to have wrestled him.
And it's a good style, too. Like you don't want to wrestle Andre where it's a totally different contrast and style.
I mean, sometimes, you know, styles make matches, right? And that's a lot of fun. And I have had some great matches against big guys like a Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman, stuff like that.
That's true.
But Shawn, I mean, he's just special. He's one of a kind. You know, I'd love to get in the ring with him. I mean, our styles are very similar. I think we could have, you know, an incredible match.
Do you remember that time on the barbershop where he threw Marty Jannetty through the window?
Of course.
Remember that?
Yeah, it's the second greatest heel turn of all time behind my own.
Now, your own was when you were with the Shield,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. People still talk about their...
Sure do.
What do we look at a Mania maybe? A little reunion here or what?
I mean, look, one of our guys is over in the other company, so he ain't coming. And Roman Reigns and I are here for life. Look, our paths are going to be intertwined. We're going to crisscross here and there until both of us are done and retired. So you never know. You never know what WrestleMania is going to look like. You never know what next month is going to look like. Could be any time.
All right, so now I was doing some homework reading up on you, Seth. BT and Sal in studio here. Seth freaking Rollins ahead of his cage match tonight at the Madison Square Garden on Monday Night Raw. You're a huge sports fan.
I do like sports.
Okay, now is there truth to you wanting to do broadcasting after your wrestling career is over, like sports broadcasting, a Bears podcast? Is there any truth to this stuff?
Don't got to do it after. You can do it right now.
Are you doing a Bears podcast?
Look, there's a lot in the works right now. There is a lot of truth to that. I love the Chicago Bears. I'd love to add some spice and personality to the broadcast booth, if at all possible. I feel like it would be a lot of fun. So, yeah, we're talking about doing some stuff.
Give me your insight on Justin Fields, who might be a New York Jet.
Oh, you know what? I think he deserves another opportunity to start somewhere in the NFL. I mean, you look at the system he was in Chicago. I mean, he had a lot of chaos between his head coaches and his coordinators. When he finally had some consistency, you saw the performance increase. Obviously, you look at a prospect like Caleb Williams, seems hard to turn that down. Caleb had a good rookie year as well. But I think Justin he's a young cat, and I think he deserves another opportunity. His skill set is incredible.
Would you want to see Aaron Rodgers? Who knows where he's going to go? But if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Vikings, Vikings got some talent. Do you want to see that? Or do you think Rodgers can still play?
Oh, he can still play. I mean, he had a good season. You look at the numbers last year, he had a pretty good season.
Yeah, little hollow numbers, trust me. I'm a Jets fan.
Sure, keep going. Yeah. But, I mean, the numbers are there. It's not like you look at him and you see this massive drop-off in skill. Do I think he's got another Super Bowl in him? Honestly, no. So I don't know if I'm a team that's going to want to waste a ton of money. But if I think I've got every other piece in place and I need a good, solid veteran quarterback that's going to come in and run the offense and not make mistakes.
Well,
there you go.
Well, put it this way. Let's see, because the Vikings haven't made their decision yet. From a Bears perspective, would you rather play the Vikings with Darnold or the Vikings with Aaron Rodgers twice a year and possibly a playoff game?
I want Rodgers because I want to beat him so bad.
There we go.
I want him on the team. Like, Darnold, I had no dog in the fight. You know, and I was kind of rooting for Darnold because he was an underdog.
Yeah.
Kind of been cast out.
Well,
in New
ruined
York.
Them pretty much. Can root for the reclamation project.
Then you go in there and you got a great system set up, great coaching, and look at him. You know, he shows what he can do. So I would love to get Rodgers in there. I would just love to beat him down, man. I want to beat him twice a year. I would love to do it. I think we're going to be such an exciting team next year, too, in Chicago.
Is that because he owned you when he was with the Packers?
Yes.
Or any personal
Correct.
Stuff or anything?
I mean, I think he's a goof. I do. I watched his documentary series out of just morbid curiosity.
We loved it.
I mean, it was fascinating, right? It was fascinating. I think, you know, I can relate. I can relate to a lot of the things that he has gone through in his career, especially talking about when you reach the mountaintop and you think it's going to give you all these kind of this feeling, this sense of accomplishment, and it doesn't happen. And then you're like, well, what's next? And you start to try to fill up that space, right? Because there's this giant void that you've created in your life because all you've done is focus on one singular goal, and you think that's going to fill you up when you reach it and you don't have it. So I really related to that. You know, some of his personal views are a little out there for me, but mostly it's because when he was with Green Bay, he just dominated Chicago.
And by the way, when you get to that place that you're talking about that Rodgers spoke of and that you just mentioned, does that, when you can't, if you can't fill the void right away, that's got to lead to depression.
Sure.
It's got to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I for me, after 2015, I had main evented WrestleMania. I won the world title. So, like, 2015, I'm riding, trying to, like, meet some sort of expectation that I had in my head. I get hurt at the end of 2015. And then, like, I mean, honestly, for the next 3 years or so, it was I wouldn't call it, like, a downward spiral, but it took me a while to get to a place where I felt like what I was doing had any sort of meaning. And honestly, it didn't happen, like, fully. I didn't fully grasp what life was going to look like for me. And what was going to give me meaning until I married my wife and had my daughter. I mean, that was really the game changer for me.
You know, now that you say that, I remember, because I was into it more so back then. I remember, like, when you started trying to get to the top, and then were you wearing that white, all white outfit?
I had a great Power Ranger outfit, yep, SummerSlam 2015.
Okay, well, whatever. Then you got to the top, mm-hmm. right? And then you got hurt.
Yep.
Do you think professionally you've ever been back to that top level?
I mean, yeah, I think I've gotten back there for sure. Like, look, that was 3 years in, 2015 for me, a little less than 3 years. I was still on the come up. Where I'm at right now, especially over the past couple of years, you know, my relationship with our audience is through the roof. I think I'm more visible in a pop culture sense. Our business is healthier than it's ever been. And so, yeah, I mean, my where I'm at right now, you know, my body's still really clicking on all cylinders, but my mind is, like, finally caught up to where my physical was. So, like, my mental and physical are, like, in this awesome synergy right now before my body drops off a cliff here in my 40s, you know. But I really feel like I'm in a great spot right now, the best I've ever been.
Can you get the same feeling from delivering, like, an all-time promo? Like, I mean, not a good one, just crushing it versus that highest moment in the ring. Do they hit the same level, or is it always in the ring?
Yeah, no, they definitely hit the same level for me. I mean, promos is a place in my career that I've really had to work at. I'm not saying the in-ring came easy, because it didn't. I put a lot of man hours into that, but the physical aspect, it just appeared in my mind better. It was smoother for me. I was just able to do it. I was always in athletics as a young kid. I liked performing, and when the two kind of came together, it was super easy for me to transition that into this world and to like see progress with it and to feel comfortable with it. Talking on a microphone, not so much.
Mm. Well, I would never guess that. You sound pretty good.
You go back to my pre-WWE days and you look at any promos I cut as Tyler Black, I mean, you're like, that's not the same guy. That could not be the same
guy.
That
was your name?
Tyler Black.
Who came up with that?
Me.
Oh,
me,
okay.
Yeah.
is there any like meaning behind that one?
Combine two of my favorite characters from filmdom. Well, I guess literature as well. Tyler Durden from Fight Club and Sirius Black from Harry Potter.
Okay. Look at this guy.
Yeah. So bang bang, two different worlds. But you know, I'm all over the place. I'm all rounded.
Is it hard when you take on, like, and I don't know this to be true, but I almost get the sense, like, I'm going to throw some old names at you. Like, if I see an old Don Morocco promo, that's Don Morocco.
Yep.
Like, if I see Roddy, but that's Roddy being Roddy. I know that Flair stretched the boundaries of a little bit, but I know we all know he was a nutball.
You ever met Rick?
Yes, I have. No. Well, so I know it's not that different.
Not much of a stretch.
I did mean that. But so I know what you mean. But if you are the type of persona that is, he's nuts, that you have to really change who you are when the promos start or when you get into it, that's got to be exhausting. How much of what we see and hear from you is truly you?
You know what? It's all me. It's just a weird side of me that I don't bring out in public. It always sort of existed in there. And if you go back, I mean, if I think back to my teenage years and my childhood, there was always kind of a flamboyance. There was always kind of this arrogance. There was always kind of this attitude that I had. And I was just never comfortable enough to let that part of me out, to let people see that sort of thing, you know? I think, look, we're humans, so we're all sorts of multifaceted creatures, right? And that's just a part of me that in my private life, I just don't bother with it. But when it's public, there it is. I can put it out there now. I don't have this, like, this fear of judgment that it's not going to work, or that people aren't going to like me, or that, you know, I'm going to get ridiculed for something I wear or something I say. So there's just this, like, comfortability in who I am, and that part of me that I that I never really let out before.
And at what point did that click? Because I feel like if you don't do that, not you specifically, Seth, but in general, if you don't do that, you're never going to get over on the mic. You're never going to be good if you're just not letting that true part of yourself out. When did that click for you?
Oh, probably just a few years ago, man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, really. Honestly, like when I started kind of drifting into this character a little bit, it allowed me to explore that side of myself that I hadn't really touched on in a long time. And you look at other parts of my career and different sort of iterations, like they were other parts of my personality that I was able to take and throw in there. You know, you look at the architect, you look at kind of that sellout sort of arrogant, over the top, entitled. I mean, look, I had that a little bit in there, you know what I mean? And I was able to channel that. And then this sort of the visionary, just this idea of this over the top, I know everything, I know exactly what I'm doing, I can see things before they happen. Like there's sort of always that undercurrent in me in certain parts of my life. And so I just find it, scoop it out, and like blow it up, you know?
Yeah. By the way, how much that rope set you back? Couple G's? What are we doing here?
This
is that real
a nice
stuff?
One, man.
That?
Shout out to King Troy. He's my stylist. He takes care of it all for me. I ain't got a private jet, but I got a stylist.
I hear you.
One more for me, BT.
Yeah, go ahead, Sal.
Tom Brady, what are your thoughts on him as a broadcaster?
Look, Tom's new to the game, man. He's an untrained voice, you know what I mean? But he knows so much about the game, and I love his perspective. I mean, I love the X's and O's, and that could just be the football nerd in me.
He's a little boring. Come on, Seth.
He is
honest,
a little
dude.
Boring, but I love hearing that, man. I like hearing the insight. And I think the one thing that I struggle with is obviously he's got the conflict of interest because he's the owner of the Raiders. So there's only so much that he can get into. Mm-hmm. But I love his competitive mindset when he talks about his experiences in the game because, look, no one had experiences in pro football like him. He is the GOAT, the greatest quarterback that ever played, the winningest quarterback that ever played. So he has experience that nobody else is going to have. Love Tony Romo, love Greg Olsen, but these guys, I mean, I think, I don't know if Brady's going to stick it out for a long time, but I'm you're right. He's a little boring.
A little bit. He'll loosen up, though. I think he's a little reluctant to put it out there.
First season, exactly. Let's just see. Give him a chance. Let him learn.
No doubt. By the way, do you bet football? Are you allowed to? Can you guys jump into the other sports? What is that with the contract?
I think so, but I'm not a gambler. Yeah, I don't.
If you start, just bet against the Jets. You'll win every single week.
Slippery slope, bro. Slippery slope.
With certain things.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't.
Gotta be smart, dude.
I see all these like massive bets on, you know, I'm like, dude,
Yeah.
It's because it's right there. Yeah, that freaks me out.
So the folks, you're a big, big sports fan, as we've already determined here. In baseball, they say the first thing to go is a little bit of vision. And you can't quite see the spin, which means you have to guess a little bit if it's a curveball or a slider. It means you're a little bit, so you got to cheat, okay?
Yep.
And when you cheat and it's soft, you're out in front, you're done. What is the first thing, if you even know, that generally goes for a wrestler?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, ours is more, it's not specific, right? It's very non-specific. But the physical aspect usually goes first, right? The physical understanding of what your body, you know, you're used to, okay, these are my moves, these are how I do them, these are ways I can get in and out of them, and, you know, you just do that, and then one day, one of them doesn't work the same as it used to, and you go, I can't quite jump as high as I thought I used to be able to, or I can't run as fast, or, like, my cardio is a little, So, you cheat, you start to adjust your style,
mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about our business is once you built so much equity with your audience, they're a little more forgiving. And like they just, you know, we're storytellers. So we create characters, we create stories, we create conflict, resolutions. That's it. And if you can get the audience to care, whether it's on a microphone or in the ring, that's all that matters. That's how the money comes in.
You know, that's actually an outstanding point because athletes, they aren't given the grace of aging because there's 80,000 people screaming. And if you quarterback, even if you got two championships like Eli in the moment, all right, you overshoot somebody by 3 yards on a third down, you're going to hear some boos, right? But wrestlers are, it's like that sentimentality that the storylining and the decades of being so connected to people, even if, all right, he's not quite what he used to be or she used to be in the ring, it's that affinity for what that person represents, more so than maybe what they're doing right in the moment. They are more willing to accept being aging.
Yeah, correct. And look, the thing is, if you take it to football, right, you look at some of these quarterbacks you talk about, like you see them adjust the way they play over the years. I mean, even Pat Mahomes, from the way he played in his, I mean, he's still a young man. I don't even think the dude's like barely 30, if that. But the way he played in his first few years compared to the way he plays now, he's just a little smarter. Brady was the same way. Drew Brees was the same way. These quarterbacks, they figured out the game. They can anticipate better because they've seen a million snaps more than when they were 23 years old. So it's the same for us. Like, I can see things much better now than I could when I was 26 when I first came to WWE.
Yeah.
So I can plan for everything. I can see. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've learned it all. Like, I can figure out exactly what's going to put me in the best possible situation where I don't have to rely on doing double backflips off the top rope,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I do.
You have an end date in mind? Or year and age? Have you thought about it?
No, I'd be 39 in May. 45 maybe really sounds all right to me, I think. It's kind of going to depend on what I do in the next few years as far as outside of WWE or behind the scenes in WWE. Both of those things are appealing to me, so just got to figure out what that feels like. But like, my body's definitely in, I feel good right now. I feel very good.
I feel like you'd be a great like Jesse Ventura, like, commentator.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I really do. You have interest in doing that?
Commentary? No, not so much. I think Jesse's awesome, man. Great. I'm so bummed I wasn't on the Saturday Night's Main.
We were there. We went, both of us.
Oh, that's sick.
We had Jesse in studio for that. He's great.
Oh, he's the best.
He's
man.
Incredible.
He's so great. I was so bummed. Like, I think I was on the books for a match for that show, and then my opponent, this giant dude, Bronson Reed, decided to jump off the top of a cage and snap his ankle. And so my match got scrapped.
Don't do that tonight.
No. There'll be no ankle snapping, knock on wood, tonight. But at least not mine, anyway. Maybe Punk's.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'm more behind the scenes guy when it's time for me to finish up. Like, I'd like to be on the other side of it. I don't want to be like a character in front of it anymore. Once I'm done in the ring, like, let me go back. Let me help, you know, the business. Let me help the young guys and girls. Let me do something like that.
Like script writing, stuff like that?
Yeah, maybe something in the creative department. We'll see.
Well, what do you do, like, when you're presented a possible angle and a possible route, and when you're young in the business, you have no juice. You pretty much got to go along for the ride. But somebody like you, you have a different level of cachet. As it's presented to you guys, but you really, truly, fundamentally oppose it, how much will they listen to your input?
I am so, and I say this, maybe I'm wrong, maybe my perspective on myself isn't great, but I'm really easy to work with for the most part. Like, I like to take ideas and figure out how I can make them the best, as opposed to, like, this idea sucks, let's do something completely different.
Okay.
You know?
I
like to work collaboratively. So if an idea is given to me, I go, if there are aspects of it I don't like, I'll approach it that way. In the sense that, okay, we can do this differently and still get to the same point. I like the base of the idea, or maybe I don't like the base, but I like the details, whatever it may be. And I try to figure out within that framework how to make it great. Now, look, there have been times where I'm just like, this is awful. I don't want to do that. Can we please do something different?
And do they listen?
Usually.
Okay.
Yeah, usually. I mean, look, because if you go out there and you're not, if you go out there and you're performing what you don't believe in, then it's garbage. It's going to be garbage. But even if you take a bad idea, say a bad idea, but you believe in it and you go out and you put 100% into it, you can take a bad idea and you can make it good. You know, maybe you can't get it great, but you can make it good. You take a good idea, you can make it great. But even if you take a great idea and you go out there and you phone it in, it's going to be crap. It doesn't matter how good the idea is.
All right, there you have it. Catch him tonight at the world's most famous arena, Monday Night Raw, cage match with CM Punk. He is Seth Freaking
That's me.
Rollins. And pretty soon we'll probably be seeing you next to Stephen A. Smith on First
Take
or something like
Stephen
that.
Stephen A., baby, let's go.
Debating your Bears. All right, thank you, Seth. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight against that bum, CM Punk.
That bum. Thanks, guys.
More of your calls when we come back. Get back to the Yankees. Talk some NFL. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Monday morning. A lot going on, BT. It was fun to talk to Seth Rollins for a little bit, but we'll get back to the Yankees conversation with Gerrit Cole, and assuming we'll get an update at some point today. I don't know if it's going to happen when we're on the air, but we'll get a definitive update on Cole one way or another, but it doesn't sound good. Matter of fact, it sounds likely he's going to be out for the year with Tommy John surgery, but in just a few minutes, about 20 minutes or so, we're going to have the legal tampering period for the NFL, and I get the feeling sooner than later we're going to find out about both the Jets and the Giants quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. That's topic one on everybody's mind here. But just, you know, big picture, including everybody, you think that the Jets and the Giants are very aggressive in free agency?
I do. Don't you?
I think the Giants.
What makes you think that they wouldn't be?
I do, but like I just don't know that that's the way you build a team.
It's not. It's not. But you didn't ask me that. You asked me if I think it'd be.
I know. But that's
way,
But that's why I think the Giants might be a little bit more prone to do it because they've got to win. Whereas the Jets probably. I know that Aaron Glenn wants to win and Muji wants to win. But if they're smart and they're like they take the prudent path, what they should be saying is, let's build this the right way and not dole out bad money and pay for past performance.
Right, that's a good point, and that's a different, I guess, thought process. Like, I'm not saying they're going to go out there and be reckless in free agency, but I do think they're going to be active, maybe the Giants more specifically. As far as the big fish, who knows? But, I mean, does it get any bigger than needing the quarterback? And both these teams are going to find a quarterback in free agency. Simple as that. And probably the starters for the season, meaning the Giants might take a quarterback, but he's not going to be a starter to start the year. You wouldn't think. They're looking for a veteran. That's been very clear. I'm starting to get the feeling. Once the DK Metcalf trade happened, I started to think Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh.
I'm starting to feel the same thing.
Okay, so we kind of speculated that before. Right now, I don't know. We're just using common sense and following along the trail here. But with DK Metcalf in place, now it's like, wow. And you got to do the math. Like, what would be the best spot for Rodgers personally, aside from if Giant fans want a winner now or to see that quarterback now or Rodgers is hanging on? If he has options, if Rodgers has options, he's going to choose somewhere other than the Giants because the Giants stink.
Yeah.
And they're not close to winning.
Yeah.
And it might be better off for the Giants. But after the DK Metcalf trade, blockbuster trade, I feel like Rodgers is going to go there, which then leads the Giants to who? I mean, what are we looking at for the Giants?
I don't know. But now think about this, too, because the Raiders could very well have complicated both the Jets, but maybe more specifically the Giants' world by moving up in the draft and trying to snag one of these young kids that, whether it's one, two, or the Giants wouldn't trade with them, one or two, but they've got their quarterback now. They've got Geno. So now
opens up Seattle as well for Sam Darnold.
I was saying now Seattle. I tell you, one thing about NFL free agency, for the most part, quarterbacks never hit the market. It's become more exciting the last couple of years where there is some real, maybe not biggest ticket, but bigger ticket quarterback movement, which makes it exciting for the league. So I would say that, you know, you have to see how it shakes out in Pittsburgh. And I'm with Sal. I think there's a good chance Rodgers winds up there. And then, obviously, Fields and Wilson are gone. I would like Fields to go to the Jets. I think he'll be in play for the Giants. I want no part of Wilson. Where do you stand on Kyler Murray? You hear that rumbling over the weekend?
No, what, that he might be traded?
Yeah, maybe the Giants maybe sticking their beak in that with Kyler Murray. Like, there's so many different stories.
I mean, the Giants are in such a spot where it's almost just like, whatever you could do. Like, figure it out. Go get a quarterback. They put themselves in a bad spot to begin with. So, I mean, would I be open to it?
Do you like him? Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, like, not love. Do I like him better than I do Sam Darnold? I do. Do I like him better than I would Aaron Rodgers for the Giants? I do. So, I think I think he would be a better option, at least the potential there, to be the franchise quarterback. And matter of fact, I like him better than I do Justin Fields for the Giants.
Yeah.
But
he's definitely better than Fields. Oh, my God.
But I'm saying for the Giants, I don't know if I like him for the Jets. I feel like the Jets are still, because the Jets are in year one with a new regime. This is not, I'm not saying kick the can down the road or punt necessarily, but they're still trying to get a feel of what they have, who they are, who they want to be, and then you could start going taking shots, which is why I like the idea of Justin Fields, because he's kind of a buy-your-time quarterback. Can win now with a high upside, but also buy some time here in the short term. But back to the kind of triangle that we have, Pittsburgh is going to impact both the Jets and the Giants one way or another, because if the Steelers get Rodgers, that means the Giants don't get Rodgers, but the Jets probably get Fields.
Or the Giants could get Fields, too.
I haven't heard any of that. Doesn't mean that they won't get him, but yeah. I feel like it sounds like the people in the know are you just common sense was saying even a week ago that it sounds like Fields with the Jets, but this, as of this morning, it felt like Fields either back to Pittsburgh or to the Jets. So let's say Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh. I would think Fields would go to the Jets, and that will leave the Giants without a chair.
Well, I think Russell Wilson. I think that they would very well revisit that like they did a year ago.
But without one of those.
Yeah.
It seems like Rodgers and Fields are the top choices. Like, the Jets' top choice seems to be Fields. Giants' top choice at the moment, and I could be wrong, I'm just piecing together, seems like it's Rodgers. So if Pittsburgh gets Rodgers, the Jets would get their top choice potentially in Fields. If Pittsburgh re-signs Fields, then maybe the Giants get their top choice in Rodgers, then where do the Jets go? for a quarterback. So it's almost like the Steelers hold some of the cards.
They do. Now, the Jets wouldn't go Darnold at that point. Then at that point, this is the last thing you want to watch. But, like, the Jets could go Mariota. I mean, honestly, Carson Wentz, good God. I mean, Carson
Wentz. Those are the options we're talking about?
Yeah. That's kind of stuff that I'm getting. Like, if they don't get Justin Fields.
I'd be surprised at Mariota just because he seems to be everything other than what Aaron Glenn wants. Look at Marcus Mariota, what he was with the Falcons.
I couldn't be less interested.
Forget about the fact that he's not very good. He quit on the team.
He's not tough. He quit on the team.
He walked out. Took his playbook and went home. He didn't want to. Look at his start. You stink. You stink. So I would be shocked if Glenn wants that type of guy to build his culture.
Let me ask you this, though. Let's say the Jets get Fields. Is it a lock that he beats out Tyrod Taylor if it's truly an open camp? Is it a lock?
He's going to be in a similar spot to where he was a year ago with Russell Wilson. Then.
Yeah, it'd be close. No, it's not a lock, right?
No.
It's going to be interesting. I think the Jets, and then the Jets, maybe a little less than the Giants, but the Jets have some internal decisions. We've talked about them, obviously, with their own guys. You know, and something over the weekend with Okereke, where the Giants might be, I don't know if done is the right word, but ready to move on from Okereke, I guess it's the same thing. Which to me makes no sense. Okereke is a good player.
Yeah, but maybe the cost is going to be too much. I don't know.
It might be, but if you're not a good team, are you really in the business of getting rid of whatever good few players you have?
Well, a lot of these moves are made because of, obviously you know this, I'm not breaking any news, but the cap space. It's not just about the player. It's about, okay, where's the player at in accordance with the value, what we're getting or what we could get from that position if we decide to move on. So there are going to be a lot of decent names there. You've already seen some of them that are going to be on the market, not because they're not good players anymore, but because maybe they weren't worth their current contract situation. So then maybe you get them at a better spot. Maybe that's the case with Okereke. I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out here. My bigger issue is I just think the Giants are in a rough spot here. The Giants are in kind of desperation mode going into year four with Shane and Dable. They've got really not much to work with. They need a quarterback, and the only thing that could kind of save them, in my mind at least, is drafting Cam Ward and showing signs that he could develop into a star quarterback in the immediacy here with Shane and Dable. Outside of that, how do you paint a good picture for the Giants?
Well, it could be another quarterback. It could be Dart at a different spot, but I think it's under the same premise. I get it. Let's do this. Week one, all right, we're sitting down to watch our football heroes. Dripping with optimism, as we always are, until November 1, then reality sets in. What do you think would be the best-case situation for the Giants and the Jets in their quarterback rooms?
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter with the Giants as long as it includes Cam Ward.
So,
I don't care. The starter is really irrelevant, or the veteran is irrelevant, as long as Cam Ward is in the equation, because it will eventually be Cam Ward.
Yeah, I would say that it's not irrelevant because you don't want to throw him out there to the Wolves and ruin him, and DeVito's the only one under contract, but you can always find a guy like a Wentz or whatever just to play like a Kurt Warner. So you think the Giants getting Cam and the Jets getting, what, Justin? Justin Fields?
Yeah, probably at this point.
Probably the best situation? Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the Jets, yes, because they're trying to build a foundation. Now, if you tell me the Jets are aggressive and they trade for Cam Ward, I still don't love that. By the way, the throwing him to the Wolves thing, it doesn't, like, the Jets did it incorrectly multiple times over. I don't think that would be the case with the Giants because they're going to have a head coach who has been proven to work well with other quarterbacks, even if you just say Josh Allen, but he's done other stuff. He's also experienced. It's also not year one for them. They have an experienced coordinator that's gotten many opportunities to head coach elsewhere. So even bringing in Cam Ward, if he were, and I don't think that he would at this point, but if he were to start week one, I still think it's a better foundation than what the Jets had, for example, with Zach Wilson, with Saleh, who was in his first year, and a defensive guy.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, the coordinator, LaFleur, in his first year. Like, I don't think it's just throwing him to the Wolves without any kind of support around him.
I think it also really depends on just what kind of wiring the young man has. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like Zach doesn't have that wiring. Right. It looks like Sam Darnold does more than we thought. You know, it's so easy to say that Team X ruined player Y when, you know, really it's hard to delineate where that breach of trust starts and expires. Like, you know, I don't think Zach Wilson did himself any favors because I think he was incredibly immature and he just really couldn't prove to read what was in front of him in terms of a defense. Now it doesn't help when you've got everybody that's in the building first year. So maybe to your point, having somebody like Dable, who's been around a couple of years, there's at least the inner workings of the Giants. There's a little consistency. They got a couple of good old linemen. Yeah, I mean, I still don't know if I want to. To me, Cam Ward still is not somebody that I'm looking, and I love him. I love him better than Sanders. You know that. I'm not looking to race him out there for week one myself, but I'm not worried about him imploding as much as I am Sanders. Sanders is not ready to play.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls. 888-808-1019.
If you hear me, don't come and feel me.
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Monday. Very, very, very busy Monday. Minutes away, BT, from the legal tampering period. I'm assuming things are going to be, you know, firing away once 12 o'clock starts. We've already had an active weekend as far as the NFL goes. We'll get back to the Garrett Cole stuff as well. A lot happening. You know,
Alvarez.
Alvarez. We even touched on Alvarez. Well. We will get to that later. You know, that kind of does play to the... We'll do it more later, but it does play to the point where it impacts the rotation much more when you have a blow like the Yankees do with Cole. And I'm not just talking about because he's out for the year versus Alvarez 6 to 8 weeks. Even Heel versus Alvarez. Like, I feel like it's much easier to overcome Francis. I think the Alvarez thing is more about Alvarez than it is about the Mets.
I actually agree. I know what you mean. Now, to the contrary, though, there are numbers out there. They were like 25 games over 500 with him, pretty much abysmal without him. But yeah, I know what you mean. Even, you know, like the Mets, you want to see Alvarez become the player that some people think he could be and what he flashed to be 2 years ago. So, but you don't look at this absence of him derailing the Mets.
He was still a question mark anyway.
Nobody knew where he was going to hit in the order. Was he hitting seventh? Was he hitting sixth? Was he hitting eighth? He had a lot to prove. So eventually he'll get back. He just can't get off the tracks, though. It's crazy how he keeps getting hurt.
Yeah, we'll get more into that a little bit later on. Lawrence is calling from Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm hearing a lot of news about the Giants maybe being interested in Kyler Murray, and I don't want to give that much validity between his big contract and like injury history, but what do you all think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Kyler Murray at this point, and I'd have to look at the numbers. I know they're pretty vast here. I'm not saying I wouldn't be interested, but what are you going to have to give up to get him? It's just a lot. Like, why would the Giants do this at this point? I mean, he's not old. Was he 29, 28?
Well, I'm going to look it up right now. Here's the thing, right? There are two conversations anytime you bring up a name. It is about the player himself and whether you think this player, in this particular case, Kyler Murray, can be a, what do you say, star quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, franchise quarterback, or in this exact instance, is he the best option available for the Giants? So I don't think Kyler Murray will ever be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, I'm not there with him.
Yeah.
But I do think that he is, if not the best option, if he's available, one of the better options that are available. Like, look at the other options. The other options stink. So, yeah, Kyler Murray in comparison to the other options, yes. Kyler Murray in comparison to Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts.
Stroud.
No, obviously. Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's two different conversations.
27. He just threw 27 this year. You know, he's had a couple of good years, but...
He was pretty good last year, no?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but 21-11.
Not great.
I mean, not terrible.
I mean, but still better than the bounce back. He had a big bounce back year. He was banged up the years before.
He did. He definitely bounced back. He's had some injuries. He's small, man. He's 5'10".
That's what I'm saying. So, all right. So the question is, do you like Kyler Murray overall as a quarterback, just independent of team
I
needs?
I do. I don't love him. I like him.
Okay. And, like, yeah, whatever.
I like him.
Like, he's fine. And now rank him in the possible options for, I guess, the Jets and the Giants, but in this case, we're talking Giants.
God, okay. For the Giants, I think there's, for me, a little intrigue to see what he can do with Dable. I think that could be an interesting union. From the Jets' perspective, I don't think it makes a ton of sense right now.
Yeah, because the Jets need to, it's kind of like starting from scratch, and Kyler Murray is a move that you're making for him to be your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
The Giants are desperate for one. They're looking for one. Although, I guess if they were to get... See, this is why it doesn't make any sense. Kyler Murray plus Cam Ward doesn't add up to me.
Okay,
so then aren't the Giants going to most likely trade up and get the number one pick? So where's the speculation coming from?
Just a couple stories over the weekend. First of all, there's been five stories about the Giants. The Giants are among the favorites to move up to first in the draft.
Right. Rodgers.
Rodgers. The Giants love Sanders early. That was the early draft scuttlebutt. Now it's like, well, not really quite as connected. Who knows, dude? These are stories planted by agents, by people. You don't really know what's true. Really, all we know about the Jets and the Giants right now is that they have a gaping hole under center. They've got a real need for a quarterback. There's more urgency on the Giants duo, and certainly Shane, to find one. I think the Jets have a little more room because they're just getting going here. So it's year one for Muji and Glenn. But this it's unsustainable. You can't go into the seasons with the quarterback situations. And when that's the case, generally you're inclined to do something desperate. I personally think that there's more quarterback options out there than maybe others do. I think if this was any other year, it might even be tougher. I think if the teams are buttoned up, both teams could actually address the quarterback spots this offseason.
We'll continue the conversation with the football and all the latest news. Keep you up to date on all the happenings. It is now 12 o'clock, officially legal tampering period. And we'll get back to the Yankees conversation as well, as they are likely going to have to live this season without Gerrit Cole.